What is going on? Thank you so much for joining the J Makwapa podcast. This is the fuel to your faith and the death to your doubt. I hope you enjoy this message. Let's get into it.
Public servant of the year. Oh yes!
What is going on, everyone? Thank you so much for joining into the J Makwapa podcast. Guys, I'm excited that you are here. Yes, you watching me on the screen right now. Or listening to me on Apple podcast. I'm happy that you are here. You are a honored guest, especially if this is not your first time. If you've been listening and you keep listening to the podcast, listen, I just want to say to you, thank you so much. Whether it is on YouTube, Instagram Live, whether it is on Apple Podcast, whether it's on Spotify, wherever it is that you are listening to this or you're watching this, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And for that, I need to give you an extra immersive. If it is your first time, you are welcome. Thank you for accepting the invite from whoever invited you to listen, or you just bumping into it, or you hearing about it and finally listening to it. I want to say thank you for coming. And for that, I need to give you an extra immersive. Those are just blessings that I give out to everyone. Guys, I want to say the journey of doing this podcast has been super cool, and I've been getting a lot of good feedback from a lot of you. Thank you. I want you guys to understand that actually it encourages me. It like really, really, really encourages me to keep going, because sometimes it's not easy. But when you guys do let me know that it's making an impact, it makes me know that I'm on the right path. So thank you for that. I appreciate you. Everyone who sent me DMs, messages, comments, everyone, it means a lot and it fuels the fire. So I appreciate you guys. Okay, right now what we need to do is we need to give a shout out. We need to give the extra mercies to the people who've been letting people know about the podcast. So here we go. This is a long list, but it's a good thing. So, Khonze, patience, here comes your extra mercies. Matapelo Nyembe, here comes your extra mercies. Buhle Sangu, here comes your extra mercies. Ntuku Masai, here comes your extra mercies. Petunia Witoko Mauta, here is your extra mercies. And last but not least, Snowy Ndlovu, here is your extra mercies. Guys, thank you so much for shouting out the podcast. You guys are amazing. Appreciate you guys. So again, on the 16th of June, which is just around the corner, which is in a few days, which is Tuesday, depending if you're listening to this on Sunday, but whenever you're listening to this or watching it, on the 16th of June, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, I'm gonna be interacting with you guys on Instagram Live. So I'm not gonna be sharing, I'm not gonna be preaching. I'm literally just gonna be looking into the screen, waiting for people to talk to me, playing music. You guys, I just need us to have fun together. It's gonna be for an hour. Usually on social media, all we see is like little icons and we see words. But I think that's a cool time for me to actually see your face and for you to say whatever you want to say to me. Hopefully they're gonna be nice things that you will say. But request to talk to me, because I want to talk to you. And it's gonna be fantastic. But guys, let's get into this episode today. I'm so excited about it. Because I am challenged to challenge you. I feel challenged to make sure that you listening to me are gonna be challenged to not just listen to the words, but to actually step into what God is calling you to do. Because if we're just gonna be listening to a podcast or just listening to God's word, that doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is when we actually step into what the word is telling us to do. So let's get into it. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. God, I come before you. Thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for your mercy. Thank you for this podcast. I pray may this be a blessing to everyone who listens. I pray give me grace to share clearly. And I pray may people be impacted, and not just impacted, but I pray may people be ready to step into what you have for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all said amen. Amen. So thank you again for tuning in. Now, with this podcast, I don't want this podcast and I don't want my life to be all about me doing what God has called me to do. I don't just want the messages and that I put out online. I don't just want the life that I live to be all about me doing what God has called me to do. I want to make sure that I am playing a part in you being who God has called you to be. Because to make a real impact, it's not going to just depend on one person. And I don't think that I have all the answers. I don't have all the talents, all the skills. You have to play your part so that we can actually have a good impact on our community, on our society. We, me and you listening, yes, you, me and you, we need to build the kingdom of God right in our country. South Africa needs more people who are willing to step into what God has called them to be. Now, this message that I'm going to preach is called How God Makes Heroes. You can be a hero, and I believe God wants you to be a hero. Not maybe for everyone, but for some people. Not maybe for the people around the country, but maybe people in your family and in your community. If you follow what God has called you to be, you will bring help, you will bring blessing, you will bring direction to the people around you. But you have to be willing to obey Him and allow God to make you a hero. Make you a hero. Male, female, young, old, you have the same opportunity to make this happen. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 6 to 9, just as a word of encouragement as we're getting into this. It says, "You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now and not long ago. You have not heard them before today. So you cannot say, 'Yes, I knew them.'" God wants to do a new thing. It's something that He wants to bring into your life that you have not seen before. We're in a time where our whole world, the international world, is going through things that it's never necessarily seen exactly before. Our country leadership is experiencing things that we have not seen before. Now, you can just think that it's only bad things going on, but we have to understand that God is always involved. God is going to be bringing good things out of this shaking that's going on. And I also believe that God is going to wake some people up. And I want the people who God is going to wake up to be the people who are tuned into this podcast. I want God to wake you up. And I'm trusting that in this word, it's going to be a part of the waking up process that you realize that when there is a crisis, that's a time where heroes must rise up. But let's find out, how does God make heroes? And that's the whole point of the message. Heroes are not born. Heroes are made. God makes heroes. He does not just allow them to be born. It's not just about being born in the right family. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 112, verse 6 to 8. It says, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph over their foes." Now, a thing about a hero, no matter what movie you watch, no matter what documentary you watch, you will hear the different challenges that heroes had to overcome, which then made them a hero. Maybe before they were not really seen as a hero, but they overcame this big monster, this big thing that was trying to destroy them. But if you look closely, it's not the monster that made them a hero. It's not the disability they had to overcome that made them a hero. The real thing, the common thread among all the stories, is that the hero had to overcome fear. Fear was the thing that the hero had to confront and say that this fear is not going to stop me. Now, what will fear do? Fear will cripple your belief. Fear will bring limitation to your life. Fear will make you give up. Fear will make you run away. This is the thing that we're going to be tackling today in this message. Because when fear appears in your life, for some people, it can make you change direction. Why? Because you are afraid. And you have to see that is the biggest enemy of your progress in becoming the hero that you are meant to be. Fear, being afraid, the things that make you shake, the things that make you intimidated, the things that make you shrink back, is the biggest enemy towards you stepping into the fullness that God wants you to walk into and being the greatest blessing that you want to be. There was a a census once done about what's the biggest fear that people have. And it wasn't tigers, it wasn't dogs, it wasn't heights, it wasn't pain, it wasn't snakes on a plane. It was public speaking. Public speaking. People would say, I would rather be on a plane with a python than to publicly speak. People were literally saying that, hey, like, just don't put me in front of people and ask me to speak. That is what I fear. I remember a time when I was in Rustenburg, actually, and then I was in church. I had to lock up the church in Rustenburg, and I was driving home, and then I got a call. The call was my parents, was my mother and my sister, because my father was out of town. And then they said, hey, we need you to come home. And I was like, you need me to come home? Why must I come home? And they said, there's a snake. You know, I was in the car and I'm driving home. And they said, there's a snake. And I felt like, and what does that have to do with me? You're calling me to tell me there's a snake at the house, isn't it? So why are you calling me? And I said, so I'm like, why do you want me to be there? They said, we need you to be here so you can deal with it. I must deal with the snake. But guys, it's my house. It's my mom and my sister. I was like, okay, cool. I'm on my way. I get to the house. Now, some of you will have experienced something like this, maybe where you have to deal with some type of situation. I remember driving into the house and got out the car. Can I tell you that every single stick was like a snake at the moment. I'm there jumping, like there's no fear, there's nothing to fear around me, but I'm there like I'm on edge, like I am on edge, like yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like leaves are shaking. I'm like yeah. So get to my mom, my sister. I'm like, okay, what's going on? They are in the garage, in the car, as safe as can be. I get there and I say, okay, so where's the snake? They're like, it's in that direction. It's in that room. It was actually in the room where the keys were to get into the house. The snake was in the room where the keys were to get into the house. I'm like, oh my goodness. So we're sleeping outside then, eh? I was like, so guys, so we're sleeping outside? We sleep? No, they're like, no, you go in there, deal with the snake. Now, I remember going in there. I remember taking, we had no weapon. I had to find like a mop, like a stick. I get into the room. And there was it was like an outside sort of like a room there. And then there was like a place I could stand. And I'm there like moving things with the stick. Moving things with the stick. I remember I moved one of the there was like a little plastic thing. So I moved it and then the snake disappeared. Yo, I remember just going, closing my eyes. And I think I hit the ground like 347 times exactly. But eventually the snake was dealt with. And once the snake was dealt with, we were able to get the key that led us into the house. But I want you to see something about this story. Is the snake was preventing me from getting access to my house. The snake was in the way. And it's more than the snake, because it was actually a fear that was stopping me from getting access into a place where I needed to be. And this is what fear will do to you. Fear will often be the thing that is going to stop you from getting access into your next step. Fear is going to make you say that I'm too afraid. I don't want to do that. I don't think it's going to work. I think I might get hurt. I think I'm not going to have enough or have what it takes in order to step into that thing. And it's going to stop you from walking into the good thing that's ahead of you. Often there are so many good things on the other side of your fear. Often they are so extraordinary and things of such a blessing behind your fear. But you have to make the decision to overcome the thing that is making you afraid. Now I want us to just think about this. You know, guys, just as a side note, I don't understand who made it the law that it must be the guys to deal with things that are, you know, things that must be killed. You know, like, I understand they say, guys, we must take out we must do the garden, or we must take out the trash, right? We must take out the rubbish, throw these things away. But who said we have to kill the bugs? Like, who says we must kill things? You know, a thing that we need to understand, whenever you call anyone to kill something, it's a complicated thing. My sister and my mom would be the one who would always say, like, hey, there's a bug, kill it. You don't just go kill a bug. Ladies, please, you must understand, when you tell a guy, hey, go kill that thing, hey, this thing is a complicated procedure. You need to understand, is this thing poisonous? Can it fly? Does it bite? What does it eat? Does it drink blood? You understand what I'm saying? So it's not, guys, let us consider the people who you call. Consider them. Don't say kill it fast. Don't say kill it. Give them time to process, man. I'm just giving you some wisdom, okay? In Jesus' name. But let's get into a story where we see God making a hero. God making a hero. We see in the book of Judges. It's a very popular story where we see the story of Gideon. Gideon was a man who his whole community, his whole tribe was being destroyed. Basically, he was in a mess and he was afraid. He was on the losing side. This is not a thing of he was afraid to get into a fight. No, he had been beaten. His people had been beaten. They had lost the fight. Now he was afraid because of what has happened. You know, sometimes we can talk about we are afraid of something that could happen. No. The fear on the inside of him was because of something that has happened. And this is what the enemy will often want to use in your life. Will want to use your history to affect your future. The enemy is going to try and remind you of something that has happened and tell you, remember when that thing happened. And if that happened before, it can happen to you again. So don't try that thing again. Don't step into your destiny. Don't step into your calling, because remember what happened. Hey, don't let the enemy make you define your future by your past. Don't allow the enemy to define your future by your past, because God, as I said in the book of Isaiah chapter 48 verse 6 to 7, he says that he is bringing out a new thing in your life. Now let's get in the book of Judges chapter 6 verse 2. It says, because of the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Now, this is what happens when you are afraid. You begin to form your life around your fear. You begin to adapt and say, you know what, let me keep myself safe. But in actual fact, when you live by your fear, you're not keeping yourself safe. I know you think you're keeping yourself safe, but you're not doing that. All you're doing is you're limiting your life. All you're doing is you are bringing limitations, and you're not stepping in the fullness of what God has for you. So they began to hide themselves. They were not living in their potential. They began to hide themselves. Let's go to chapter 6 verse 11. We're talking about how God makes heroes and how God wants to make you a hero, how we can learn from this and step into the same things. Now, Judges chapter 6 verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak tree of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Now, what is happening here is we see Gideon is hiding from the enemy. He is threshing wheat in a place where he's not supposed to be, because the enemy, the Midianites, have already dealt with his people. They've already beat them so bad. So now he is trying to keep the little he has and trying to keep it safe. So he's looking for a hiding place so where he can thresh the wheat and keep it away from the enemy. Again, this is what fear will do to you. Fear will say, okay, I'm afraid, so I must try and save. I must try and keep what I can get. I must try and make sure that what I have is not going to be affected. So let me go into my little corner. Let me limit my life. Let me live a little smaller. But God was not calling Gideon to that. God was trying to raise a hero. Now, are you hiding? Is there something that you are hiding from? Is there something you're trying to protect yourself from? Are there trust issues in your life? Are there things that you are intimidated by because of things you've seen, places you've gone, things people have told you? Hey, God wants to raise you up to be a hero. Please believe this. God wants you to step into your calling. I know you are afraid. I know that bad things have happened, but God, I know that maybe even as you've been trying to step into it, maybe things have not been working out. You've been trying to be who God's called you to be, and maybe it's been difficult, but please don't give up on the journey. Let's keep seeing what happened. He was living in fear, but let's see step number one of how God makes a hero. The first thing that God does and what he did in Gideon's life was God gave Gideon purpose. God gave Gideon a reason to live. God let him see, hey, there is purpose in your life. And I want to remind you that there is purpose in your life. There's even purpose in the fear that you feel. Judges chapter 6, verse 12, it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now pay attention to what's going on. Again, I want to say, Judges chapter 6, verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, how did Gideon feel at the moment? What Gideon was doing is he was not a warrior. People were beating his people. He had just lost and he was hiding. He was scared. He was afraid. But God is coming to him and giving him a opposite message. Now, let's see what was going on. He was threshing wheat in the wine press. Now, I just want to read this quickly. It says, corn is meant to be threshed in an open place. The wheat is meant to be threshed in an open place where the wind can blow away the chaff. But the wine press is a hollow in the rocks surrounded by walls. And it is not the most suitable place for threshing wheat because the chaff can't be blown away. The chaff can't be blown away. So he was threshing wheat. So when you thresh wheat, it's like you're taking wheat and you're trying to get the grains out of the plant. Now, as you're threshing wheat, there are pieces of the plant that must be thrown away, that the wind must come and blow away. So usually people will do that high on a mountain where everyone can see. But now Gideon was doing it in a wine press that is at the bottom of the hill where wind won't come because that's where the wines must be made. For some of us who remember that video. for where the wines must be made. Now, this is a picture that the Bible is giving us because Gideon was afraid. What he was doing was supposed to be on the top of a mountain where everyone can see him. But why was he hiding? He was hiding because the enemy was going to see him if he was trying to do what he was doing at the top of the mountain. So he was hiding away from the enemy because of fear. And he was doing the right things in the wrong places. He was doing the right thing, but because he was doing it in the wrong place, it didn't have effectiveness. Now, as I said before, this is a picture of worth and waste. Of worth and waste. And how fear can make you carry on to things or hold on to things that are a waste when you should be letting them go. Fear will make you say, you know, it's a situation where some people will say, you know, I'm afraid to leave this relationship because I'm afraid I won't be able to find someone else. Or some things where, hey, take a chance and be who God's called you to be. Take a chance and step into the calling. Take a chance. No, I'm afraid. So I'm rather going to waste my time doing other things. Hey, I'm afraid. So I'm rather going to change my direction. Or, hey, I'm afraid to go straight. So I'm going to go the long way around because I don't want to confront this thing that's ahead of me. You are wasting when God is trying to bring worth. Fear will make you hold on to things that are wasting your time. Listen to me. When you are afraid, when you allow fear to dictate your life, when you allow fear to lead you, you are always going to find yourself wasting time. time. You are always going to find yourself wasting your emotions. You are always going to find yourself wasting away when you should be holding on to the things of worth. Some of you are afraid to let go. Some of you are afraid to step into things. Some of you are afraid to try things. And when you are afraid, you are just holding on to things that are wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Stop allowing the things of waste to be in your life. Judges chapter 6, verse 2, as I'm going to keep reading, read that again. It says, because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. All right? So Gideon was there because he was afraid. Gideon was there because he was afraid. Now, what was happening, as I said before, he was holding on to there was a picture of things of worth and things of waste. And what Gideon was doing is the things of worth were being affected because he's holding on to things that are wasting his time. And that's going to happen to you. If you are going to allow fear to rule your life, you are going to... The things of worth in your life, your potential, the things of value that you have that God has given you, they are going to be affected because you're holding on to the things of, that are wasting your time, that are wasting your energy, that are wasting your vision, that are wasting your time. Some of your friends are wasting your time. Some of you are in relationships that it's a waste of time and you know it. But because you are afraid of things, you don't want to let go. So, there are people who are wasting time. You're listening to me right now. You're holding on to things that are wasting your time and you know it. But God wants you to only focus and hold on to the things that are going to bring worth to you. God wants to build a hero out of your life. But you have to make a decision to let go of the things that are wasting your time. Now, because of the power of the Midian, again, what fear did to Gideon, as he was holding on to the worth and holding on to the waste, he also then went into a stronghold. He was hiding his people. The Bible says that the Israelites, they prepared strongholds for themselves. And this is what fear will do. Fear is going to make you, you know, when people are afraid, sometimes people will run into strongholds of pain. You'll run into strongholds or areas of your life. You'll run into areas of pain, run into areas of addiction, run into areas of anger. And you'll begin to stay there and say, I can't get out of this. Why? Because I'm afraid. And if you are listening to me and there are places of fear that are strangling you, I want to encourage you, rise up and challenge it. Challenge the thing that's making you afraid. Challenge the thing that's making you worried. Challenge it because God is on your side. Don't stay there because you are limiting yourself. You're limiting what God wants to bring out of your life if you're going to let that fear dominate you. Don't let the fear slow you down. Don't let the fear of a new thing slow you down. Don't let the fear of even starting afresh slow you down. Don't let that slow you down because God has a plan and he wants to make you a hero. Now, there's four areas of our lives. There is the arena area of life. The arena area of life is the arena, is the part of your life that everybody knows about you. We know that you like music. We know that you are funny or whatever, things like that. Number two is the mask side of your life. The mask side of your life is the things that you only know about yourself. You're hiding from everyone else. The mask area of your life, you only know that about yourself. But then there's the blind spot of life. The blind spot of life is the things that people can see about you, but you can't see about yourself. Now, Gideon must have been feeling like some things about himself. Like when God brought the word to him and say, hey, I want to raise you up to do great things. Gideon must have been feeling like, hey, I'm not sure if God really knows who I am because, hey, I am afraid. I'm a bit of a coward. I'm not facing my challenges. But like I said, there's the fourth side area of life. Number one, there's the arena, the things everybody knows about you. Number two, there's the mask, the things only you know about yourself. You and God know about yourself. Number three, there's the blind spot. There's the area of your life that other people know about you, but you don't know about yourself. Now, guys, that's a very irritating place. Just a side note, but there are things that people know about you that you don't know about yourself. the blind spot side of your life. One day I might preach a sermon on that. But number four is the God-given potential. The fourth area of life, there's the arena, there's the mask, there's the blind spot, but the fourth area of your life is the God-given potential, and only God knows the full potential of who you can be. I don't know it, you don't know it, only God knows the God-given potential over your life of who you could be if you fully obey Him and you follow your purpose. Only God. There is so many great things that even you would be shocked that you can be that kind of a person, but only God knows that potential. And that's one of the reasons why God will never give up on you. That's one of the reasons why God keeps telling you to have faith. That's the reason why the Bible tells you walk by faith and not by sight, because God sees things about you. God has put potential on the inside of you that you can't see, but He sees it. But you have to keep obeying and trusting Him. There was a time, I remember when, just speaking on purpose, there was a time when I was at high school and there was this Valentine's ball, you know, the Valentine's ball, everybody wearing red and black and white, and you know what I'm saying, everybody has to, you know, look so great. I remember I was in grade 10 and it was the Valentine's ball. I remember I went there, you know, I had to put on the charm there, okay? Back in the days when I was in grade 10, there was a small little thing called color blocking. Okay, color blocking. We were color blocking the whole time. We were blocking with the colors. By the way, what happened to color blocking? Huh? What happened to color blocking? You know, anyway, fashion left that in the past. But I remember going there and we were in, it was the Valentine's ball. And all right, I went there and I remember I was outside. I was seeing a couple people, just talking to some people. Got into the hall where I was at, Selly Park, okay, in Rustenburg. That's the high school I went to, Selly Park. What's up, everyone? It's Selly Park, from Selly Park. I remember getting into the hall, Valentine's ball, music is playing. I remember seeing one of my friends dancing with this other girl. I was in grade 10. Hey, Valentine's ball, right? Valentine's ball. Dancing with this other girl. And then they were dancing, but not really anything too messed up. But they were dancing. And I remember their hands were up. Their hands were up. I remember looking at the lady he was dancing with. It was dark. I don't think she was from our school. Like, it was really dark. And I remember I walked past. And when she put her hands up, I mean, really, it was an afro. I saw, you know, pitch black afro. I saw an afro here. Armpits. I saw an afro, you know, it was even like it was moisturized. He's there, he's dancing. Yeah. I'm there, my man. Yay. Okay. But then I remember, as I'm looking at him, I remember what happened was then someone else said, hey, come dance with me. So I was like, okay. So I remember it didn't take long, but I began to walk towards the person who was asking, okay, let's dance. You know, I'm there walking there. But I remember really quickly, on the inside of me, I began to feel like this is what I'm doing. Stop doing that. And I remember looking at another, the friend that I'm speaking about, looking at him. And for some reason, what happened was, I realized that he is not saved. I realized that my friend did not know God. I realized that his life was far away from God. And it really broke my heart. It really broke my heart. And for some reason, I my eyes began to tear up. and I remember I'm there. And there was this other girl. I forgot who she was. But she's there like, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. And I had to walk away because it was this, my heart broke so much that my friend did not know God. And at that moment, I remember, it's one of the defining moments in my high school time. I always remember it because it was at the moment where God reminded me of my purpose, reminded me that I'm not just put on this earth just to be dancing along to the music of the earth. I'm put here for a purpose. There are people in my life who don't know God. There are people in my life who are hurting. There are people of my life who are making bad decisions for themselves. And God has placed me there to be a person who's going to make a difference. Listen to me. You listening to me. You have to understand that your heart has to break for the things that break God's heart. Your heart needs to be shattered by the things that shatter God's heart. You know, there's a thing about your life that you need to understand is God has shown love to your, if you're in university, you see your lecture room, God showed love to your lecture room by putting you there. God showed love to your family by putting you in your family. God showed love to your workplace by putting you in your workplace. God showed his love to your high school by putting you in your high school. God showed love to your community by putting you in your community. God shows love to your street by the fact that your family is in your street and you are there. Because God is raising you as a leader and as a hero in your community. You have to be aware of the purpose. God gave Gideon a purpose that he must live for. And I want to remind you today that you have a purpose to know God and make him known. But what was happening in Gideon's life? Still, there was this fear situation. Now, how Gideon responds when he is given purpose is he's still affected by fear. Now, Gideon says in verse 13, he says, pardon me. In Judges 6, verse 13, he says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, he says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said that did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us in the hand of the Midian. He asks why. And that's what fear will make you do. God, why did this happen? Another thing that Gideon asks is how. We ask these things when we're afraid. Is why did this happen and how is this going to change? Judges chapter 6 verse 15, it says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. We often say things like, if God is with me, why did I get a divorce? If God is with me, why did I get a miscarriage? If God is with me, why did my mom die? If God is with me, why didn't he heal my father? If God is with me, why didn't I get the job? If God is with me, why can't I find a husband or a wife? If God is with me, why is my life a mess? We are coming out of a place of despair, pain, and confusion, and we many times ask ourselves, why is this happening? And sometimes we also ask how, why, and how. And you know, sometimes when we ask ourselves why, there isn't really a clear reason why. Sometimes we're not going to find the reason for why. Asking why is not going to help you. Asking why is another thing that's just going to keep you in your position. You have to just realize that this is the situation, but you understand that God is bigger than your situation. And the other thing that Gideon asked is, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make a difference? How are you going to raise me up to be a hero, God? And what Gideon was doing the whole time is he was looking at the wrong thing. Now, when God wants to raise you to be a hero, he is going to call you to not look at the situation. Don't look at what you have. Don't look at what you know. Don't look at your connections. Don't look at your resources. Gideon was looking at his situation and looking at himself, but the whole time he's looking at the wrong thing. God wanted Gideon to look at him. The whole time Gideon was looking at himself, but he was supposed to be looking at God. You will always feel like you don't have it. You'll always feel hopeless if you are looking at the wrong thing. Pay attention and please, please take this to your heart. Look to God when God is calling you to your calling. Don't look to yourself, because often the calling will be too much for you. The vision God will give you will be too big for you. But you must take the time to say, hey, God, I'm not going to look at me. It's not about me. It's about you. And I'm going to trust that I am going to be used by you in the journey. You have to look at God and don't look at yourself. Again, like I said, when God raises a hero, he gives the hero purpose, and God wants to give you purpose. Number two, what God gives him is he gives Gideon his spirit. He gives him his spirit. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, it says, then the spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizrites to follow him. Now, what was happening before? In the beginning of it, he was afraid. But now as God, he was afraid and he was quiet in his little corner. But when God gives him his spirit, what happens to Gideon is Gideon begins to make noise. Gideon begins to be bold. Gideon begins to be loud. It's no longer time to be that quiet little Christian. It's no longer time to just be that soft little believer. It's now time to make some noise. And when the Spirit of God comes over your life, you are going to make some noise. People are going to start noticing you, not because of you, but because of your message. The Spirit is, this is the same Spirit that Jeremiah said is like a fire shut up in his bones. This is the same spirit that Samson took down 400 Philistines with. This is the same spirit that came over David, and David took down lions and took down Goliath. This is the same spirit that came over Daniel in the lion's den. And when God said that God was going to be his defender and be his protector, the same spirit that's over Daniel, that was over David, that was over Samson, that was over Moses, that was over Gideon, is the same spirit that God wants to pour over your life. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "You shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes over you." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes over you. When the Spirit of God comes over you, you will get your courage back, you'll get your boldness back, you'll get your joy back, you'll get your peace back. Come on, the fear will try take it away from you, but when God allows his spirit to be over you, and I want you to understand that the spirit of God is over your life, when you place your trust in God, God gives you his spirit. So for in the Old Testament, it was a big event. The spirit of God has come over these people. Wow, they have power. But we are walking in the new covenant where Jesus gives us his spirit, and the spirit is on the inside of us. And sometimes it just takes you understanding that the Spirit of God is over you, and you just need to start walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Start walking by the Spirit. Come on, the next thing that God gives a hero is he gives the hero peace. Judges chapter 6, and what God wants to give you, God wants to give you purpose, God wants to give you his spirit, and let his spirit come over you with boldness and power. But the next thing that God wants to do is he wants to give you peace even in the mess. Understand that all that was happening in Gideon's life was still in the mess. Nothing had changed yet. He was still in a place where he had lost the battle. He was still in a place of defeat. But God wants to give you peace even though you're in a place of defeat. Judges chapter 6 verse 23 to 24 says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die.' So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' To this day, it stands where it stands." The Midianites had taken over. They had lost the battle. The people were in struggle. They were in pain. But what God did to Gideon was to say, "Hey, have peace." And this is what God wants to give you. He says, "I'm going to give you peace." But what does Gideon do? When God says he's going to give him peace, Gideon builds an altar. What Gideon does is he takes stones. When God said that he's going to give him peace, what Gideon does is he begins to build an altar. What is an altar? An altar is a place where people would meet God. It's a place where people would put a place there to be reminded of who God is and what God has done. Now, this is what I want to encourage you to do. When you need to find peace, make sure you build an altar. If you are in a storm and you are a bit afraid of what is ahead of you and what God wants to bring out of your life, you need to make sure you build an altar of prayer in your life. Have a place where you meet with God. Have a place where you listen to God. Have a place where you're going to be impacted for God. You build your altar in your own life. In your own life, you need to build a place where you're going to meet God, you're going to speak to him, and he's going to impact you. See, Gideon had to make that for himself. And for you to be a hero that's going to be used in God's hand, you have to build your own altar. When is your time of prayer? When is your time to read God's word? When is your time to build God's kingdom? When is your time to seek God? You have to build your own altar, and that is going to be what is going to bring peace in the storm, peace in the fight, peace in the struggle, peace as you're looking at your vision, as you're looking at your dream, as you're looking at the thing you want to accomplish. You're going to need the peace that comes from God. So we said, number one, God gives a hero purpose. When he wants to raise a hero, when God wants to raise you up to be a hero, he's going to give you purpose. Next thing, he's going to give you his spirit. Next thing, he's going to give you peace. And the fourth thing that God gives you is confidence. Not confidence in yourself, but confidence in God. A confident need. Now, what was going on is Gideon was in the beginning, he was afraid, he was in the white wine press, he got a word from God, he got purpose. Next thing, he got the spirit. Next thing, he got peace. Now, what happened is confidence began to rise up on the inside of him. And what happened was that he had the bravery to confront the thing that he was afraid of. He had the bravery to confront the fear that was in front of him and the enemy that was being, that had been attacking his people. Now, what we see is that Gideon gathered people around him to say, okay, guys, we are gonna fight now. Yes, I was hiding. Yes, I was afraid, but now I'm gonna challenge, I'm gonna confront my fear. Now, how many people did Gideon have? Gideon had a total of 32,000 men, but the people he was against had 135,000. Imagine 32,000 versus 135,000. But Gideon still had the confidence to say, you know what, I can do it, I can do it. But then what God saw about Gideon is, Gideon, as we saw in the beginning, Gideon said, how am I going to do this? Why is this going on? How am I going to win this fight? And Gideon had his eyes on the wrong thing. Gideon was looking at himself when he was supposed to look at God. Now, what God did was he gave him all these this purpose. He gave him peace. He gave him his spirit. And then even brought provision around him, brought people around him who will support him. But Gideon got his eyes on the people. Gideon got his eyes on his own ability instead of the ability of God. And God had to change that. You see, that's something you need to make sure that you don't fall into. That you get caught up in your ability. You get caught up in what you can do instead of focusing on what God can do. So what God does then is, when he has 32,000, he takes Gideon through a process of basically, from 32,000, Gideon ends up with only 300 men. God begins to say, ah, you have too many people. Kids, cuts them off. Says, you need less, less, and less, and less. And God takes him through a process of saying, I need you to be confident, Gideon, but I don't want you to be confident in your own ability. I want you to be confident in the ability of God, because I'm gonna take 300 of you and I'm gonna put you against 135,000 men in war. And at the end of this war, you are gonna have no other option but to say, this was the hand of God. And this is how God raises leaders. And this is what God is also going to do in your life. Don't be intimidated when you're starting to see people are starting to walk away from you. Don't be intimidated when you're starting to see the resources around you go down. Don't be intimidated when you think that, hey, it doesn't seem like I'm having growth. It seems like things are going backwards. Because sometimes when you're going backwards, it is almost like a slingshot. It's like you're being pulled back. The further you get pulled back, it's the faster and the more powerful the impact of what is going to happen from your life. Now, this is what was going on with Gideon. He was being pulled back in order to have a great impact in his life. But God had to take him through a journey of having a confident need. Make sure that your confidence is not in yourself. Make sure your confidence is not in what you know. Make sure your confidence is not in the things that have come around you or the people, your team around you. Make sure your confidence relies in God and in God alone. This is how God is going to raise heroes, and God's going to raise you to be a hero. Check this out. When I'm saying a hero, many times people say, hey, let's not preach the Bible and make the story all about ourselves. This whole thing, when I'm saying hero, many times people will romanticize the word hero. When I say how God makes a hero, heroes, if you actually look closely at a hero and you study a hero is someone who has a lot of powers, right? We talk about, hey, this person can fly, this person has this strength. But every hero has a weakness, and that weakness is more powerful than all of that strength. If somebody can affect that one weakness, all of those powers are gonna mean nothing. All of that strength is gonna mean nothing if the hero is hit in a certain place. Now, this is what was going on in Gideon's life. If Gideon did not have God, if Gideon did not have the purpose that came from God, if Gideon did not have the spirit that came from God, if Gideon did not have the peace that came from God, if Gideon didn't have the confident need that came from God, Gideon would have nothing. And this is what I want to remind you of again, that when God is going to raise heroes, the heroes that God raises, the leaders who God raises, the people who affect change and who impact that God raises are people who can do nothing outside of God. And if you are saying you want God to raise you up and to be a leader and to be a hero and to be one who's going to make impact, understand something, that you will have nothing outside of God. You are nothing without Him. You are empty without Him. You are broken without Him. You are poor without Him. You are naked without Him. You are useless without Him. Your weakness will be exposed when you step away from your God. You see, when God wants to raise a leader and when God wants to raise a hero, those people are found, and their strength is found deep and only in God. When you are going to be raised to make an impact, what's going to happen is you're going to have a very clear understanding that you can't do this without Him. And God is going to take you through things that it's only going to be through Him that you're going to walk through the challenge. I hope this is encouraging you as I'm coming to the end of this message. God wants to raise you as a leader. God wants to raise you and wants you to walk into the purpose that He's called you to. God wants to give you purpose. God wants to give you His Spirit. God will put His peace over you, and God will give you a confident need. It's not a confidence that comes from yourself, but it's a confidence that comes from the fact that if you are in God, then all things are possible. If you are with Him, then you can take on anything. Why? Because it's not your strength. Imagine a kettle bragging about its ability to make tea. All a kettle is a tool, and all a hero is a tool in the hand of God. All you will be is a tool in the hand of God. It is not you accomplishing the thing. A kettle can't say, "Hey, look, I made the tea." No, a kettle is a tool that was used in order to make the tea. It's just a vessel, and God is going to raise up you and your life to be a vessel that is going to be used for God's glory. Understand, please, it's not us filling our minds that we are heroes, we are these big people, we are these special people. This is simply us being used in the hand of God. And as I'm saying, a hero, when you look closely at a hero, there's one thing that can happen at the hero. If the hero walks away from one thing, or the hero falls into this one thing, the hero is completely destroyed. You, your life, your purpose, your destiny will all be destroyed if you walk away from God. Listen to me clearly. It'll all be messed up. So please find yourself in God. Find yourself in prayer. Find yourself reading His word. Find yourself building His kingdom. This is not about you. It's not about me. I am saying this message because, again, I said, I don't want my life to be about me chasing what God wants me to do. I want to speak to you today to tell you, arise up and become who God is calling you to be. Stand up, face the fear, because that's the thing that I'm talking about right now. Face the fear, because sometimes it's like we're going to approach God, we're going to do what God's calling us to do, but then the thing that we are afraid of is holding us back. Practical advice before I pray: get into the habit of challenging your fears. If there's something you are afraid of speaking to people, afraid of being in certain environments, afraid of things, in your life, be used to challenging the fear. Get into the environments that you are afraid of and just begin to be a person who understands that the great thing that God wants to do in your life, the thing that God wants to accomplish through you, it's many times going to be behind the fear. Heroes are not born. Don't worry if you feel like you were born afraid. Don't worry if you feel like you were born with some missing things in your life. Don't worry if you feel like you were born in the wrong setting at the wrong time. Don't worry if that's how you feel. Don't worry if you're looking at your life now and saying, "I don't think I have what it takes." Heroes are made, and God wants to make you a hero. But you have to, again, be submitted to Him. Understand that without Him, you are nothing. Now, I want to say a prayer for you, and I want you to just also open your heart in this, to say that God, to understand that God wants to use you to become someone who's great, and that you are saying to God that you are willing to go on the journey and you're ready for it. Let me say this prayer with you today, and let's trust that God's going to move. Father God, we come before you. We thank you so much for your love and your mercy. I pray, God, that each person listening to this podcast would be challenged to be who you've called them to be. God, may fear not rule us, may fear not control us, but may we be in control by the spirit that is within us, by choosing you, even though we are afraid. We give you glory, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen.
Amen.
So guys, again, I want to say this episode was quite long, but if you listen to all of it, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And my birthday is coming up, Tuesday, 16 June, 2020, 9 o'clock. We're going live. We're talking. We're chatting. It's gonna be fantastic. I'm so excited that you are gonna. If you are gonna be there, I'm excited to meet you. So, but please be there. Request to meet with me. I'm not going to be sharing. Like I said, I'm not going to be preaching. I'm just going to be talking and hanging out with you guys. So I'm looking forward to it. 16th of June. It's going to be great. So thank you for tuning in to the J. Makova podcast. I pray it was a blessing. Again, guys, there's a calling over your life. You need to go after it. You need to chase it. It's in your hands. I'm counting on you. I need you to be who God's calling you to be, because through you, even my life will be blessed if you be who you are called to be. So that's the J. Makova podcast. God bless you. Take care. Have a great week. See you on the 16th of June. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have fun. And then after that, on the Sunday, the next podcast, YouTube, Instagram Live, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of that, wherever you like to watch it, be there. It's going to be a great one. Take care. God is love. See you next week. Thank you so much for listening to the J. Makova podcast. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review, and also share it with all your loved ones and even the haters. Okay, take care, guys.